Welcome back to the Underdog Soccer Podcast. This is Maddie Nips bringing you an emergency USP podcast. So we need to have a talk, a pretty serious talk. This is something that's been bothering me for the past 5 to 6 months, and it's intensified the past 3 or so weeks, and it's even intensified more the past couple days. People online, people on Twitter, the Twitter sphere, whatever you want to call it, people online have been using a word that I think is really inappropriate to use in terms of soccer, in terms of any sport, and it's really starting to bother me, and I really just hope we can agree to eliminate this word completely from our vocabulary when talking about soccer, when talking about sports. The United States men's national team deserve to be at the World Cup. Italy and Chile and Netherlands, they deserve to be in the World Cup. You know who doesn't deserve it? Is Saudi Arabia. They don't deserve it. Yes, I want to get rid of the word deserve from our vocabulary in relation in terms of soccer. Saudi Arabia absolutely deserves to be at the World Cup. Do you know why? Because they earned a spot in the World Cup. They qualified. They earned that spot. That's the word. Let's replace deserve with earn. Chile, Netherlands, Italy, they didn't earn a spot. United States did not earn a spot. So, end of story. They don't deserve to be there. It's as simple as that. At the beginning of every season, at the beginning of every qualifying process, whether you're qualifying for a tournament or the playoffs, in any sport anywhere, you should know what you need to do at the beginning of a season. You should know you have to either win this number of games, or you have to beat these teams, or you have to be here and do this and do that. And that's exactly what the qualifying process is. CONCACAF has a hexagonal round. The United States was in it. There's 6 teams. They knew before the hexagonal round started, the hex, they knew that they need to make at least third place to qualify for the World Cup. Then they could have also have been 4th place and they would have qualified for the World Cup, but they would have had to play a play-in game against Australia. So technically they could have gotten top 4 out of 6 teams and qualified. But they got 5th out of 6 teams. 5th out of 6. That's not good. That's not close. I don't feel sorry for them. 2 of the teams that beat them were Panama and Honduras. Panama qualified. They earned their spot. This is their first ever World Cup. Congratulations to them. Honduras got 4th place. They lost in a playoff to Australia. Australia earned their spot. United States did not earn their spot in the World Cup. But all this complaining online about who deserves to be there and who doesn't deserve to be there, it's like soccer entitlement. And if we're going to do that, if these teams deserve to be there, then let's just not have qualifying after all. Hey, Italy, didn't you guys win a World Cup a few years ago? Yeah, we won one. Well, hey, you know what? Since you guys won a World Cup, you don't even have to qualify anymore. You guys just, for eternity, you just automatically qualify each year because you guys deserve to be there. You're Italy. Yay. How would that be fair? That's essentially what people are saying when they claim any country deserves to be in the World Cup or any country does not deserve to be in the World Cup. You know what this whole thing kind of reminds me of? That I'm really glad it's not like this. College football, college basketball. What happens at the end of each college football season? A bunch of people sit down in a room. and they say, oh, these are the teams that I'm going to pick for my top four playoff. These are the teams I'm going to pick for the rest of the bowl games. College basketball does the same thing with the tournament. These are the teams that I pick to be in the tournament. These are the teams that I don't pick to be in the tournament. How much would that piss people off if FIFA changed to that system? If at the end of qualifying process, they just sat down and go, all right, here's going to be our 32 teams. Let's just pick these teams. I think that would be pretty unfair. Then I would give people the right to say who deserves to be there and who doesn't deserve to be there. But the qualifying process is even. It's fair. It's equal. We knew what we had to do. We didn't do the job. End of story. Now, I don't care if Saudi Arabia qualifies in an easier section than we do. CONCACAF is super easy. I definitely don't want to attempt to qualify in Europe. I definitely don't want to attempt to qualify in South America. I probably don't even want to attempt to qualify in Africa. So we have it pretty easy. After all this missing out of the World Cup stuff and changing of the USSF president and bringing in the young kids and changing the coach, and after all this, I don't think we'll have this problem again in 2022. 2022 comes around, we're going to get first or second in the hex. Either we're going to be first, Mexico second, or flip it, vice versa. But I don't think we're going to run into this problem again. Now that leaves me on to my next point. In 2026, the United States, as well as Canada, as well as Mexico, will host the World Cup. Yay! So the only problem about that is there's now going to be 48 teams in the World Cup instead of 32. So that's an additional 16 teams. So how will those new 16 teams qualify for the World Cup? Well, not how will they qualify, but from which of the six confederations or the six parts of the world, where will they come from? How many will come from each? So what I'm assuming is CONCACAF right now gets 3.5 bids. They get 3 automatic and they get 1 playoff. So that they call it 3.5 bids. In 2026, I'm predicting with an additional 16 teams overall that maybe CONCACAF will get another 2 to 2.5 bids. So maybe we'll be at 5.5, anywhere between 5 and 6. So that means 5 automatic teams, 6 automatic teams, 5.5 automatic teams. My point is that from 2026 on, the United States should never have a problem again qualifying for the World Cup. They got 5th in this hexagonal in 2026, which they also automatically qualify for. So technically, this problem won't even occur until 2030 when they go to qualify. They're going to need to make top 5 or top 6 in the hex. So it's almost demoralizing that CONCACAF is so shitty and so top-heavy, and you can't even really call it top-heavy. It's so top-mediocre. It's so bottom-shitty that it's like USA should have never had this problem in the first place. USA does not deserve to be in the World Cup this year. They didn't do what it takes. They didn't qualify. They didn't earn their spot. So I say we eliminate the word deserve in terms of soccer from our vocabulary. And I hope that you guys understand what I'm saying. All right. Now, the only other thing I want to talk about is I wanted to figure out our best 23-man roster. Now, we've had a lot of changes lately. We're going to have a new coach coming in the next month or two. We got a new president of the Soccer Federation. We've seen a lot of new players playing for the men's national team over this six-game stretch when Dave Sarokin has been in charge. So our next friendly is until September, so we got a couple months until then. And so I was just kind of thinking, like, if we qualified for the World Cup this summer, what would have been the 23-man roster that we bring? Now, actually, if we would have qualified, Bruce Arena still would have been there, and he would have brought in a bunch of old farts, and we probably never would have seen Josh Sargent or Timmy Weah or Anthony Robinson or Weston McKennie, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. So we probably wouldn't have seen any of these guys. So let's just push it back another 2 months, 3 months until September, those friendlies. I'm going to assume that we are going to bring our best 23-man roster to our friendly games that are in September. Now, I'm going to give you my list, but this is what I did. I did not take into account any injuries, so I'm just assuming for the sake of this argument that everyone is healthy. Also, I tried to break it up by position the same way that Sarokin and Bruce Arena and Klinsmann were breaking it up positionally before. Meaning I chose 3 goalkeepers, I chose 8 defenders, 8 midfielders, and 4 forwards. Now, some of the forwards can switch for midfield, some of the midfielders can switch for defense. You all know that, you got that, you understand that. Okay? Now, I also selected a couple alternates for each position. And last thing I'm going to tell you before this is I also, from top of each position to bottom, that's my kind of loose pecking order. So the first name I'm going to list is the guy that I assume is the most solid in that position. And then moving down, it's the ones that I'm not as confident about. So you'll notice as I get towards the end of each position, it's guys that are going to be like, oh no, you can't put him on that roster. He sucks. So, which I expect. Now, goalkeepers. I think our best goalkeeper is Zach Steffen. He really impressed me in the France game. He's really impressed me lately, so I'm really happy to see him. So he's my number one, followed by Brad Guzan and Alex Bono. My alternate is Bill Hamid. He really didn't play great against Ireland and over the past couple months, so he's kind of on the outside looking in. I know that Bono has very limited playing time with the men's national team, only 1 cap, but I saw more in that 1 cap than I saw with Bill Hamid and his 5 caps. It's not like he's really experienced. So Steffen, Guzan, Bono, and then my alternate is Hamid, so he's kind of my 4th. Moving on to defense. Now, also, these defenders are mixed in with outside and central defenders, but I tried to pick the same number of central defenders and the same number of outside defenders, so there would be subs at each position. So, starting from the top, I got Miazga, DeAndre Yedlin, John Brooks, Anthony Robinson, Jorge Villafana, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Timmy Chandler, and Shaq Moore. So I know a lot of people are going to give me hell for Timmy Chandler. I also know that Timmy Chandler can play midfield, so he's a player that I can swap there in either position. Now my alternates at that at defense are Eric Palmer Brown, Eric Lehigh, Tim Parker, Walker Zimmerman, and Graham Zusi. Other than DeAndre Yedlin at right back, it's kind of hard to say who you would put in behind DeAndre Yedlin. Shaq Moore has very limited experience. I did put him in my best 8, but I don't really know. Eric Lehigh and Graham Zusi are on there as well. They're a lot more experienced. But like I said, I'm not completely confident about them. So repeating it from the top, Miazga, Yedlin, Brooks, Robinson, Villafana, CCV, Chandler, and Moore are my definitives. Moving on to the midfield. Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams. Those 3, I would lock those in as starters for the next 10 years. You got to think 10 years from now, they'll still all be under the age of 30. So those three are definite starters for me. And then moving from there, it's really hard. There's really no one else that I'm completely confident in. My next is Michael Bradley, Fabian Johnson, Kenny Seth, Will Trapp, and Julian Green. Now, I once again know that Fabian Johnson can play defense as well. Fabian Johnson and Timmy Chandler, I feel like a lot of people are not happy about that because over the years they had not played great for the men's national team, but they played better for their club team. So a lot of people say never give him a chance again. I'm fine with giving him a chance again because Timmy Chandler did kill it this year in the Bundesliga. Michael Bradley playing that defensive center midfield role. I know Will Trapp plays there. I just don't think that Will Trapp is better than Michael Bradley today. A year from now, probably, maybe. Like Will Trapp, he's not too young. I think he's about 23. I think he's 24. And by next summer when we go to the Gold Cup, I do think that 1 year is going to obviously wear on Michael Bradley a lot. He's already 31 years old, so he's obviously nearing the end of his career. Now, my alternates at midfield, these are kind of in a random order, but Darlington Nagbe, which I really can't stand him. I'm not sure why I put him on this list. Danny Williams, Keaton Parks, Rubio Rubin, and Alejandro Bedoya. So notice I got a couple names in there of older guys, more experienced guys. I got a couple names in there of really young, inexperienced guys. So I do think at this time, there does need to be, in our best 23-man roster, there does need to be a little bit of youth mixed in with some experienced players. That's why I put in Brad Guzan. That's why I put in Michael Bradley and Alejandro Bedoya. That's why I put in Timmy Chandler. Fabian Johnson, maybe even a Graham Zusi. All right, so that breaks down my midfield. And then lastly, my forwards. This one's hard as hell for me to say it, but my first forward that I wrote down was Jozy Altidore. He's unfortunately the best American forward that there is right now. I did think for a minute it was going to be Bobby Wood, but Bobby Wood just had an awful season. He's played two or three games lately for the men's national team, and he still looked awful, even though he scored two goals. Don't give him too much credit. One was a PK. One was a tap-in that anybody could have scored if they just put their toe on it. So my forwards are Altidore, Wood, and then Sargent and Weah, Josh Sargent and Timmy Weah. And then my alternate is Aaron Johansson. Now, that's why I made such a statement at the beginning that I did not include or I did not consider injuries with this roster. Aaron Johansson would be much higher on the roster, but I guess I did kind of consider injuries for this one. If Aaron Johansson could be healthy, I think he would potentially be better than Jozy Altidore and all the other ones. It's a shame that he just can't get fit. So he's my alternate. Back to Jozy Altidore. I just don't think that anyone has done enough yet to prove that they are better than him. I love what I've seen from Josh Sargent, but he's 18. He's never played senior club minutes, a single minute. Maybe this season, you know, he's at Werder Bremen. He's at Werder Bremen, and maybe he'll get a ton of playing time this season, and maybe next summer by the Gold Cup, he will be our best striker. Who knows? You know what I said about Bobby Wood? He's fallen off. He's 25, but he's just not doing really well. Timmy Weah, he's young. I think he's more of a midfielder in a United States role, but I put him as a forward. He's good. I like what I see from him. He's only 19. He needs to get more playing time with his club. He needs to get more experience before I can really put him ahead of Jozy Altidore. And I didn't even bother mention a bunch of MLS guys who are shit. All right. So that is my best 23-man roster, assuming that we bring this roster to the September friendlies for the United States men's national team. I know that one of those, I think it's either the September ones or the October ones, are actually in an official FIFA window, which means that it should be a full-strength roster. So I forget if it's the September, the October, the November ones, but we do have six friendlies coming up starting in September. All right. Other than that, that's all I got for today. I had to just throw this emergency podcast out there to talk about that word I can't stand using. So make sure you're talking about the teams that have earned their space in the World Cup and what they did to earn that. All right. Until next time, keep kicking ass.